Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We need now for everybody to move out of the 20-kilometer radius from the number one plant and in areas from 20 to 30 kilometers from the power plant. We would like to ask you to remain indoors, at home, or in your offices.
That was the Japanese Prime Minister speaking through a translator, and we will keep following the Japan crisis, including the nuclear power plant situation, with a couple of guests this morning. Next hour, we have someone who was involved in safety design for the Fukushima-style plant. Right now, CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who is in Japan and is covering various physical and mental health issues related to the quake and tsunami. Dr. Gupta, thanks for giving us a few minutes. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
First, on the nuclear leak, I hear experts say, for however horrific and scary this all is, there has still not been enough radiation leakage to affect the general public's health, only the health of exposed workers. Do you think that's true?
I think if you look at the numbers specifically and you know, believe those official numbers that are coming out, that is true. Let me just say one of them, because I think the numbers are important here, Brian. 400 millisieverts. That was the highest reading that we heard today coming from one of the near one of the reactors. They were doing some surveillance. That was the number that came out. Now, to put that in context, 400 millisieverts, if you got a chest x-ray, you'd get a few millisieverts. If you got a CAT scan, you get a couple hundred millisieverts, and that is the radiation levels inside the gates of the plant. By the time that radiation leaves the gates, you start to get some natural decay of the radioactive particles, and you get some disbursement. So you mentioned these 20 to 30-kilometer evacuation zones. Mm-hmm. I think people outside those zones would have a chance of getting just very low levels, not something that we would typically think of as causing some sort of detriment, either in the short term or long term, to human health.
So dare I even ask, are we in the media making too much of the nuclear angle from a public health standpoint? Tens of thousands of people probably died as a result of Chernobyl. This, at least so far, you're telling us, is probably zero outside the plant workers.
As things stand now, and I think there's two issues here, being on the ground, Brian. One is that I think that, the issue of the unknown aspects of nuclear radiation are always going to cause some anxiety. I mean, it does, certainly among the people who live in those areas. And you did have to evacuate a lot of people as a result of this. So, it's quite a scene in those areas. The second thing, Brian, is I think that the information coming out has come slowly and sometimes has been at odds with itself. So at first it was almost this attitude, look, there's nothing to see here, move on, don't worry about this. And then it was, we're dumping seawater in to cool the plants. We put seawater in, it's so corrosive, you essentially abandoned those reactors. And then you started to get these venting of radioactive gases, and then the explosions, then the fires. And then today you had the Prime Minister come on and say there are levels that have, high enough that if people were, directly exposed, it could be a problem. I think I guess what I'm driving at is what's next? I mean, is this going to get worse? Because if the levels do rise much higher and they disperse at higher levels as a result, that could be a problem. So, I think people are sort of standing by.
And at least a bit of good news is that after that spike earlier in the day, we are now told that the radiation levels are coming back down. The government is warning, as we mentioned, some people to evacuate the area and some people to stay in their homes. Is it clear to you why that is and who should actually do which to protect their health?
My understanding is that people within 20 kilometers have essentially been told to evacuate. Between 20 and 30 kilometers, so that extra 10 kilometer circumference, say you could stay in that area, but you should stay in your home, not use ventilation from the outside, those types of things. So I think in terms of distinguishing the two groups of people, it has to do with distance. And when you think about protection, personal protection, three things come to mind: time, meaning reduce your time of exposure, distance, get as far away from the exposure, and shielding, get inside some sort of structure that can provide shielding, and that's where the stay inside your home, minimize ventilation comes from.
CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta giving us a few minutes from Japan. Chernobyl taught us that children are especially susceptible to thyroid cancer from radiation exposure. Are the officials recommending that children or adults take iodine now to counteract possible effects, or are there other side effects from that would argue against it?
Yeah, it's a good question, and the answer to the first part of the question is no. A lot of discussion is made about potassium iodide so far, but there's not been a formal recommendation that we've heard to take it. Children are the most vulnerable to getting thyroid cancer because their thyroid glands are still developing, and they take up a lot of iodine as a result of that development. If the iodine they're taking up is radioactive as a result of a nuclear leak, they have a higher chance of developing thyroid cancer. What the potassium iodide does is sort of blocks. It fills up the thyroid gland, so none of that radioactive iodine can get in. Here's the rub. Typically, you want to take it when exposure is imminent, but it hasn't fully occurred yet. And that's obviously a very precarious time because you don't want to take it if you don't need to, because it can slow down your thyroid function temporarily. But you want to make sure you take it in time. That's just a timing issue. And I think the public health officials have to determine whether or not they're going to make that recommendation.
Where are you right now in Japan?
We just arrived in Akita, which is in the northwest part of Japan. It's about the same latitude as Sendai, but just a little further west.
And what are you covering there?
Well, right now we just got here, so we are actually figuring out another place to go. We moved from Sendai after hearing some of the same things that you heard, that there was some concerns now that the levels were rising to the point where they could cause problems with human health.
Uh-huh.
We didn't know what the levels were at that point. And also that there were traces of radioactive elements found as far as 175 miles from the Fukushima plant.
Wow, I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah, it's the USS George Washington, in fact, 175 miles south of Fukushima. And today they talked about the fact that they are doing regular surveillance, air surveillance, and they found levels of radioactive activity that were higher than normal and seemed to come from the Fukushima plant.
That's pretty scary. I know you're also interested in some of the mental health issues. What are you seeing?
A couple things. You know, one is that I don't know if you know this, Brian, but this area that was most affected by the tsunami is sort of the northeastern coastal area. It happens to be an area, I've spent a lot of time in Japan, but it happens to be an area where a lot of people go to retire. So if you look at the demographics of the people who are most affected by this, they were elderly more so than a lot of other natural disasters. They are left now suddenly without a home, without any real resources. Many of them, could stay with relatives, but they don't have family. They're feeling very isolated. They're in these evacuation areas, with hardly any resources. Although I must say, Japan, as compared to other countries, is very well organized in terms of getting people to these centers and getting them supplies. I think there is a lot of anxiety about what's next. I mean, we'll get the food and water. We'll get the basic necessities, but we don't have a home. We don't really know what happens weeks and months from now. I think that's a huge part of the anxiety. And then there's a lot of discussions about the nuclear plants and what that means for them as well. So I think it's just sort of been one thing after another in a already somewhat vulnerable population.
What do you think people there actually need the most then? You know, I'm looking at your employer's channel right now with a screen that says where to donate to help the Japanese victims. But what do they actually need?
Well, I think right now, if you look at the basic necessities, like at these evacuation centers, you have supermarkets that have been donating food, but they've run out of food. You've had the goodwill of lots of citizens of Japan and people around the world to continue donating things. But right now, there's no specific end in sight. So I think it's going to be, you know, basic necessities for some time to come, probably. I have, you know, covered the tsunami of 2004 in South Asia, and I can tell you that as people donate and think about resources, building up those coastal villages again should be a big part of that. So whether or not it's, you know, donating to infrastructure for the longer run or contributing to basic necessities, I think both those things are going to be necessary.
CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta, thank you for giving us a few minutes. Good luck there.
Anytime, Brian. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. We'll come back later in the program to the Japanese nuclear question with Margaret Harding, former Vice President of Engineering Quality for General Electric. She worked on reactor models in use in Japan. But coming up next, PBS education correspondent John Merrow on the better teachers versus better job debate. He wrote an intriguing new book called The Influence of Teachers. Stay with us.